Triple M's ruined dits for breakfast for the Hospital Research Foundation Home Lottery. Become an instant millionaire. Visit homelottery.com.au.
The top five things we've learned on ruined dits this week.
Number five, ruined dits have started a terrible band.
You're on percussion, Mel's on the sax, I'm on the harmonica.
They play a song and you got to guess it. But we learned Roo doesn't even know what song he's playing.
Oh, I did hear it for the first time there.
You got it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard it. I never remember what we did.
If you haven't heard this before, yeah, Roo doesn't often know which song we're actually playing. He just beats along on his drums there.
I do when I'm doing it. I just forget it pretty quickly. There's nothing wrong with playing contact sport.
Righto, let's see if the listeners can figure out the song. Keep in mind, the computer in the studio broke, so the guys have to do their own sound effects.
I reckon it's Bruce Springsteen, Hungry Heart.
Well, computer system's gone down. We can't give you the official bum bum. We just have to make it out, right?
I reckon it's Sympathy for the Devil.
Bum bum.
Bum bum.
I reckon it's One by U2.
Sorry, Gordy.
Number four, Ditz went to the Port prelim final and invited his wife along.
Bum
bum.
We learnt she may not be invited back.
We get the game and she said, "Now, you're not just going to ignore me all night, are you?" I said, "No, mate, I'm not." I said, but Kate, understand, I'll be watching the game intently. She said, "But we'll have to talk a little bit, aren't we?" I said, "Well, yeah, but..." So, you know, now, well, I'm sitting there and she goes, "How big's this oval?" I said, "What?" She goes, "Is this bigger than Norwood Oval?" I went, "Yeah." Anyway, she goes, "Well, how much bigger?" I said, "I don't know." She said, "Well, you think it's 20% bigger?" I said, "I don't know." She said, I went to Norwood Oval a lot as a kid and I'd catch the bus and go and watch it. I said, "Yeah, that's good, babe. Terrific."
Thank you.
What's the biggest oval in that? I'll go and Elizabeth. It went on and on. Kate, are you fair dinkum?
Here's some audio of Ditz at the footy calmly asking his wife to stop talking.
"You absolute rabbit! You idiot! Oh, I don't believe it!"
Number three, we do kids' jokes on Wednesday. We learn 11-year-old Phoenix has been listening to his uncle's dirty jokes.
"What did the saggy boob say to the other saggy boob?"
Oh, I ain't got saggy boobs, all right.
What did it say?
"We better start getting support now. People are going to start thinking we're nuts."
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, Phoenix.
That joke was a bit crude. Does Phoenix win a prize, guys?
Bow-bow.
Bow-bow.
Number two, we tried to learn who has a higher pain threshold, men or women.
Women don't have testicles, so they've never ever been hit in the nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, how painful is that?
Or got you...
So you haven't
lived. Little fella caught in the zipper.
Yeah, exactly.
That hurts.
Yeah.
There's no way, first of all, you can compare childbirth to getting your thing stuck in a zipper.
Good on you,
as the equivalent amount of pain.
So what, have you had your dick caught in a zipper? That's pretty bloody painful, trust me. Because you don't know whether to push through or rewind the zip.
Exactly. Oh.
Do you go further and risk it zipping it right up? Or do you pull it backwards and...
So that topic is all zipped up. Men have a higher pain threshold.
Bow-bow.
Number one, we learned from Alice, the producer, about the new TV show SAS Australia.
SAS Selection is designed to break the most elite soldier.
Starts with it on a helicopter, and they just have to jump off the helicopter into the ocean.
Ooh.
And like Chappelle,
from how high? Chappelle, what reason,
like
what?
Helicopter height? No, like I don't know.
Helicopter height.
No, that was a silly thing to say.
Yeah, helicopter height, just like in Predator with Arnie.
Get to the chopper!
How far away is it?
Chopper distance.
Do you know what? Don't ask me questions. I don't know how
10
high.
10 metres, 50 metres.
Helicopter
height. Oh, helicopter height.
Is helicopter height a legitimate measurement?
Bam
bam.
The top five things we've learned on ruined dits this week.
Bam. Plenty of highlights there. Good on you, Sammy Morrison.
At least Mel couldn't stuff up pushing the button when she went bam bam.
Like she normally does.
Yeah, like she normally does.
Yeah. All right. Oh, look at the face on her. Righto. Let's go to a break. Try and push the right one there, Mel.
See if I can manage.
Rue, this man has achieved everything in the game of AFL. He is a superstar, but that's right, he's got one box to tick. Get him on, Rue. Introduce him.
Yeah, Paddy Dangerfield from the Cats. G'day, Danger.
G'day, Rupert. G'day, Ditz. Thanks for having me, boys.
First grand final since you were drafted in 2007. How you been sleeping since Saturday night?
Last night was a bit of a rough one, but really excited. Like, it's obviously why you play the game, and I think, you know, given it's come late in my career, it's certainly think I appreciate it far more yeah, I just can't wait.
Danger, they always say in footy that you've got to peak at the right time. You've got to be playing your best footy, obviously, finals time. And, gee, watching the way you beat Brisbane on the weekend, it looks as though maybe Geelong are right now playing at your absolute best.
Yeah, and even at the start of the finals, did so. Like, we were well beaten by Port, but I felt we played okay. It's not like in previous final series where we were just, you know, smacked from the early onset. We still played okay, and then we really executed against Collingwood. You know, it was a bit of a struggle against Brisbane. It felt we controlled the majority of the play, and then we sort of built on our form from there. So, you know, we're confident if we can get it on our terms and score when we do, that we'll give ourselves every shot.
Geelong are going into the grand final with the oldest team in the history of the AFL in a grand final. So you've got plenty of experience on your side. I remember looking at the pre-game. I don't know if you've watched the replay, Danger, but they showed Ablett in the warm-up. He just looked absolutely steely-eyed and ready to perform. Like, he's on a mission. You're on a mission. You've got other players who haven't played in grand finals. It really does mean a lot to a lot of the Geelong players to win one more flag.
Yeah, it certainly does. And I think that that age profile, it does get skewed when you play Gaz at 48 years of age. So it'll come down a bit next year. But no, look, he's been one of the greatest to ever play the game, and there isn't a more fitting way to send him out. But there's so many stories like that throughout our list, as there is with every team, that make it special. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, stealing ourselves, and that's sort of really what we've done. And that's what this year's sort of the challenges that it's thrown up. It's been band together, you know, live in each other's pockets under the same roof, celebrate the wins, you know, experience the losses together and then get on with it. And that's what we've done.
And if you can win it, you might win another one next year with Jeremy Cameron in the forward line.
Yeah, it was.
You're not bad, are you? Who else don't you want? You got him, you got Higgins, maybe Crouchy in the midfield so you can stay up in the forward line a bit more.
Yeah, it's all self-fulfilling, Roo. Anything that can prolong my career.
And you wouldn't be taking a pay cut to get him down there, so something's going on. What's happening?
Well, it never started that high at all, Roo, so I can't take much more of one, to be honest.
Yeah, Dave, when, you know, I do like it when the Crows suffer just a little bit, you know, from where I sort of sit in the perspective of things. And when you left the Adelaide Crows, I happened to be on a road trip. I was in Lawn on holidays, and I drove around that coast road, and I saw a sign for Moggs Creek, so I got out of the car and took the photo and sent it to Roo, just because you had just gone back to Moggs Creek, you see.
Yeah, it went down
so,
well.
So it was just my little humour, you know. But so how is life back in Moggs Creek?
Well, I haven't been there for 4 months, Dit, so.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah, so you're waiting to get back there.
No, it's been great. It's, you know, for me, my story is a little bit different to some, I suppose. It was about starting a family, and that's what Moggs has always been for me, the area where I grew up and all my family is. So that part's been really special. My sister's due next year now, so to have our sort of kids grow up together will be be really quite special. So sort of the next phase of life, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Just one more footy question, Dan. You've been playing a lot more in the forward line. You know, looks like a Gary Ablett senior type career here heading into the forward line. Do you prefer going forward or playing in the midfield? What role do you like?
Well, it's probably the same as you, Roo. You're happy to play forward when the ball's coming down there, but when it's not, then it's time to get back up the ground.
So, go and get it.
Look, I've enjoyed it, and the way that we're structuring up at the moment, it really suits the way that we play. Obviously, Gary Rowan plays a vital role down there, sort of that second pseudo tall, and then Hawk, who's just been the most unbelievable player this season. So I feel like we've got a pretty good spread in there. You know, if we get really good service out of the middle and we're able to retain the ball in our forward line this week, like, that'll be a key to being successful within the game itself. So I've enjoyed it, but there's nothing quite like running around the middle, that's for sure.
Well, you haven't got a Norm Smith, so maybe this week you can get a Normie, you can get a premiership medal, and just give you another piece of the puzzle for a brilliant career, Danger. All the best this week. It's going to be a great game. You and Dusty Martin out in the field, a heap of other superstars, Gary Ablett playing his last game, and a grand final at the Gabba. All the best, mate. I hope it all goes well for a fairy tale finish to 2020 for you.
Thanks, Robert. Thanks, Diz. Thanks
Good
for having
on you,
guys.
Mate. Well done. One of the absolute superstars, Patrick Dangerfield.
He's a plumber.
Rudy's Plumbing. You block it, we unblock it.
He has a funny accent.
My mum's from Holland and my dad's from the Netherlands. It's a beautiful accent, isn't it?
And he also happens to be Australia's meanest TV reviewer.
Australian television, it is manure.
Please welcome to Ruin Dits for Breakfast.
Every week right here on Triple M.
Rudy Vanderstone, TV reviewer.
And listening to that intro, it's getting meaner and meaner, I reckon.
Oh, I think he enjoys a bit of harsh.
He's been tough lately. Yeah. Good morning, Rudy.
Good morning to you, Ditson. Good morning to you, Roo, and everybody listening in Adelaide. This is exciting for me because normally I would say Australian TV is manure.
Yeah.
But on Monday night, one of the biggest events on Australian television occurred when Seven aired SAS Australia.
Okay.
Ooh, do I detect that you actually like it?
I'm into it.
Right.
Okay. Ooh, hey. SAS Australia is where 17 C-grade celebrities trying to resurrect their career are tortured by military perverts for the possibility of fame down the track.
Right. Good description.
This show is pretty much Survivor, Big Brother, and I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, all rolled into one. We see all the contestants close up and in some cases naked, some wobbling bottoms there, put through physical trials to see who will break and who will win.
Okay.
It's very Survivor in a lot of ways and very Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, except we're spared the lame jokes of Julia Morrison, Yvette. They are instead replaced with an angry, dysfunctional pommy, probably with PTSD from a theatre of war, screaming hatred and abuse at people we already hate. It's delicious. I love this show. Now, on episode one, as you guys know, after doing a dead man's drop out of a helicopter, swimming in ice-cold water, crawling up and down a muddy beach, all the whilst being screamed at, the celebrities don a 20-kilo pack, do a 10K run, and then it got interesting because they had to put on headgear, and boxing gloves, cold and exhausted. Then they paired off and started fighting each other. I've got to ask Australian television producers, why has it taken this long to come up with the perfect formula? All we want to see is celebrities punch each other in the face.
Yes.
Okay? That's all we want to see. Start getting more shows together where there's people, men, women, whatever, punching each other in the head.
Celebrity UFC we want.
You could have a celebrity boxing night. I think you could come up with a few good matchups of TV personalities.
There's a couple of women I want to take on. Don't you worry about that.
No.
I'm referring, of course, to AFLW star Sabrina Frederick.
Right.
She volunteered and nominated Nick the Honey Badger Cummins to fight with. She said every day was a fight for her as a black woman in a same-sex relationship trying to break through in a male-dominated industry, and she wanted to make a statement. And she did make a statement. Nick beat her to a pulp. It was it was a big decision on her part. But, I mean, you know, she's choosing a dude who played for Australia. And, of course, Nick Cummins, you know, what a tremendous bloke. He's broken so many women's hearts as The Bachelor. Now he decides to beat one on another form of reality TV.
Getting quite a reputation.
I'll move on.
All right.
Next up was comedian Merrick Watt. He took on fast bowler Mitchell Johnson. Now, Merrick, of course, used to be on the Triple M network. And you may or may not know this, he's got a black belt in taekwondo.
Has he?
He hasn't.
He has indeed.
I didn't know
Come
that.
On.
In this fight, he looked like he had a black belt in being bitch slapped.
Yeah,
I'll tell you
exactly
what.
Right. He was hopeless.
He got his head punched off and then he started doing the windmill, ended up in a crumpled heap.
Some of his punches look
less than
embarrassing.
Convincing. It's the first time I've actually enjoyed cricket. I should actually make that part of the game. Once and over, the bowler just goes down and punches the batsman in the face a couple of times.
A bit of DK Lily, Jarvan Mendon.
Absolutely. You want to have a go at my aluminium bat, I'll kick you. Now, finally, it was Roxy Jajenko, who I'm sure you're all familiar with. She copped a hiding from Candace Warner, which was probably the most enjoyable part of the show. Because in her pre-show interview, she must have said she's never failed 15 different times. Have a listen to this.
I don't actually think I've had a failure. I honestly can say that. I think I've put everything in place so that I'm not in a position where failure occurs.
Right.
She failed. I think it would have been better to, instead of having Roxy Jerzenko there, having the poo jogger that terrorised her.
Yes, she started the poo jogger story, didn't she?
At least she was goals focused, the poo jogger, and determined to get the job done. this is a show that I am truly addicted to. I hate myself because I love it so much. Goodbye. I'm giving it 5 stars.
Yay!
5 stars!
Wow. We've been waiting about 5 years for a 5-star.
Good on you, Rudy.
Well, that's it. I've got to go and dig some holes now, Todd Seaton.
Righto.
See you, Rudy.
Funny story over the weekend. We read on the news services about the lady whose 2-year-old girl did what?
She took photos of her mother while she was getting ready.
Yep.
The mother didn't know that the young daughter was taking these photos, but not only did she take these photos, she went on to send them to about 20 of her friends on her phone. She did it on Snapchat. She sent them off to her enemies in work, basically everyone saw her bum. And other parts of her body in Starkers. And she only started realising after she started getting some messages, e.g., thanks for the nudes.
So it says that she sent it to a fellow agent, a past client, a guy from college, an old co-worker, and on it goes. Yeah, so
she walked into work and her dad said, well, here's the company porn star. and at that point, I think she'd had a guts for when she said, okay, I'm done. I quit. I'm out. So everyone had seen the size of her bum and what it looked like and the funny things that kids get up to with technology these days.
So she says here, her name's Emily, and her little daughter, Carson, she said she let her play with the phone while she dried her hair, which you can vouch for this because this is the sort of thing that Sarah's done before with your kids.
Tom's 4 at the moment, but about 2 years ago, what most mums do, they just need a little bit of their own private time. So when they go to have a shower in the morning, they give the kid the phone or they put a TV show on and
keep
just to try and amuse themselves. Anyway, Sarah was just having a shower. Tom snuck into the bathroom and started taking photos of Sarah in the shower. must have slipped in and, slipped out and that was it. Sarah got out, got ready. The day went on as normal. And anyway, from there, that weekend my parents came down and my mum went to the footy with Sarah and some of the kids and they took some good photos and, must have, done some good things at the footy. And anyway, they get home and Sarah goes, we'll show Murray, a couple of the photos, my old man.
Yep.
So they go to put it up on Apple TV and they tap on a photo and on the big screen comes up Sarah in a full frontal shot and no matter what she did, she said no matter what button she pushed on the TV, the Apple TV remote, no matter what she did, she couldn't get this picture off the TV in the lounge room. And my old man just sat there and said, lucky the share screen's a bit foggy, Sarah. She was horrified.
Let's have a listen to Sarah.
So we got home from the football and I was going to show Murray and Carol some photos of the kids through the Apple TV on the big screen of our TV.
So you're all in the lounge room watching the big telly.
So, so we're all sitting in the lounge and I got the photos up and Soph and I were trying to flick through my phone and we flicked back and all the photos sort of came up on the screen and she clicked on one and it was a photo of me, like a full frontal photo of me in the shower.
Obviously Starkers in the shower, just doing your thing.
Yeah.
Needless to say, my old man put in a booking for the next few weeks. He said, I'll be down next week. I'll be down the week after. Mum, Carol, you got some shopping to do for Christmas. We'll be down the weekend after that. So bit of fun there. It'd be a shame not to play this one more time.
What?
You going on SAS, Australia.
Every weakness, every insecurity.
Stand by to move.
This is not a game.
I need a little bit of sympathy first up. Is the whole world got hay fever at the moment or not?
Zip it and listen for a minute.
I don't know if anyone else is suffering. Bloody pollen at the moment. My eyes are that itchy.
Stop being selfish. It's prophetic.
Because I've got an issue with my foot.
Wanker!
And I ended up in a creek bed.
Get up.
Get up!
Tripped off, the pile of logs, taking bark off both my knees and hurt my shoulder and everything.
Well, what do you think you were going to do on a military-style course?
Now, do you know, in my house, I can be in the toilet, Kate just barges in, walks in, how are you going? Wants to have a chat.
This is where we're starting to understand your true character.
I'm on strike. I am being harassed here.
And it's not looking good.
I have been hobbling around.
Not looking good at all.
I think it's called chalky bones.
You are pathetic.
I just fall apart. I'm brittle.
War is not over just because you're tired.
My knee locks up and swells up and it's painful. And
keep going.
So I can't do anything.
That is pathetic. Tell you what, go and get in that water.
I can't swim.
Oh,
that's very funny, isn't it?
That is very funny. I'd love to see you on that show. I would love to see it. I would pay for that to happen.
I told you, we are the toughest, fittest athletes alive. We've been proven to be the fittest in the world.
Who's we?
Squash players. We are.
keep believing it. It's,
Our next guest is a comedian originally from the Riverland who is taking over the world. Please welcome to Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, Amos Gill.
Oh, come on, Gilly. Just go easy. Go lightly this morning, please. Come on.
How are you, Dits? You all right?
No, I'm not.
He's fragile. Well,
oh, come on, mate. Look, you finished top, but we all knew it was happening.
Like, what do you mean?
Well, the tickies were always going to destroy you. Oh, but you know what? Good on the Port boys. I was going to rag on them, but Brad Ebert's one of my favourite players ever. So I want to start by saying an absolute congratulations to that warrior.
Yeah,
so,
good on you, Gilly.
Hold on.
He's a champion. He is. The Crows fans, I think, are worse than the Port fans because on Brighton on Saturday, I saw about 30 Crows jumpers walking around. What? Just dudes wandering around in their Crows tops. Like, we finished bottom. Have some humility.
Exactly.
But let's talk about the Port fans because they're worse. What about the Port guy who's throwing the bourbon and coke on Tom Lynch?
What a waste.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
When I saw that, I reckon it just showed me that the job seeker payments are spot on.
He's wasting drinks like that.
I've never seen a Power fan waste a bourbon. So let's lower the job seeker. Bring it back down. What about the MCG turf? I don't know if you guys have been talking about this week.
No, a little bit. Yeah, we have. We definitely have, Gilly.
Well, very divisive, the fact that they're moving a $100,000 piece of turf up there to the Gabba.
Yep.
The last time an Australian moved that much grass, Chappelle Corby went to an Indonesian prison. So.
And it does go from Adelaide to Queensland as well. Exactly the same route.
More sport. Oscar Pistorius.
Yes.
For him?
Oh, yeah.
He's currently pleading to apologise face-to-face with the family of his dead wife. They want no bar of him. Apparently, they're furious because he's never set both of his feet in prison.
Oh no. Gilly didn't have a leg to stand on.
No. We're wondering if he gets released, how he's going to wear that ankle bracelet. That's what we're
it just slides right off. What else have we got? Oh, Big Brother house. Did you hear about that?
What's happened with Big Brother?
It caught on fire.
Did it?
The whole house did, yeah. And they had to evacuate all the contestants, which I was disappointed with. I was hoping they'd all perish.
Yeah. That would have been a ratings winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get back into radio, boys.
Or so, get on Big Brother and you get back on.
Yeah, well, if those guys burn, you know, if now that they've survived, they're the ones who take the radio jobs.
They do.
So, Fitzy.
Next season, anyway, the Big Brother house is going to be renovated by the block. So there's always a new alternative for you.
Keep everyone employed.
A bit of politics to finish. Obviously, Jacinda Ardern won the New Zealand
election. Oh, landslide, yeah.
Killed it.
But, I mean, everyone's so you guys like her. Everyone seems to, you know, everyone loves Jacinda. But I don't get impressed. Like, you're the Prime Minister of New Zealand. Who gives a rat? Do you know what I mean?
Mel the button pusher does here because she's from New Zealand.
Yeah, well, you know, half your GDP's made up of Flight of the Conchords tickets. Like, there's more people would have voted for me as SRC. No one lives there. They all live here.
Oh, we're sending a few criminals.
Apparently, she won the seat of Bondi, and that got her in.
The real election over the weekend was for Perth Mayor.
Oh, Basil Zemplis.
Oh, I saw that.
Channel 7 commentator. He won.
Basil Zemplis won. I mean, everyone was hoping to get Dennis Cometti, but he didn't want the job, so Basil had to do it instead.
Right.
But the news says that he won by a nose, his nose. So I chatted him.
Yeah. All right, Gilly.
Amos Gill here on Triple M.
See you, boys.
See you, mate. Good on you.
Roo, I want to share a story with you about stupid things that happen in the workplace.
Right.
Now, you were in your position, whether it's the Crows or the Armour, you sit in many, many executive meetings.
Right.
Don't you?
A few.
And I would have thought the usual trend would be, you know, let's go through the agenda, shall we? Any apologies? Would someone like to approve the minutes of the last meeting? Yeah, sure, we'll go through that. All right, okay, let's go to the sales department. Have we met our sales targets for the last month or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Any new business arising? Yeah, new business. We'll talk about that. Can we have a marketing update, please, from the marketing department? Yeah, you'd run through that.
Mm-hmm.
Financial report, please, from the company accountant. Yeah, good. What's the share price doing? Yeah, these are the sorts of things I would have thought that would come up in the Southern Cross Austereo Triple M executive meeting. Would you agree?
Right, now you're getting to the point.
Would you agree?
Yes.
Word has filtered through, Roo, that out the people that run this joint, to employ you and I, the main item of discussion at this week's executive meeting was, let's call him Flack.
Oh, right. You can't.
Let's say his nickname's Flack.
You've thrown him under the bus. Our Metro.
No, this one Former of our Metros. Metro. One of our Metros. He's on the executive team because he's in production. He's high up in production in this company.
Does that mean he gets paid more?
He does. He raised the fact that at reception there's a bowl of Minties and Fantails, and that two of our on-air superstars have chipped a tooth.
Easy,
I'm telling you, this is how important the executive and the debate that ensued went for hours about the fact that he wants the Minties and the Fantails removed from the reception area.
Why?
Because two of our superstars, two of our precious stars, have chipped a tooth eating Minties and Fantails. This is the drivel that goes on at our executive meeting here.
When did this happen?
This week, at the end of last week.
Bulldust.
I'm telling you.
They want the Minties and Fantails taken off the desk for workplace safety reasons.
Workplace safety. Now, as I said, Roo.
How about you bloody eat them properly?
Well, suck on them for a while. Make
That's
them
soft. That's
what
they're made for. You don't chomp on the bloody things. You suck on them.
I didn't see that in the minutes anywhere. Tell them to suck on them. Don't just chew into them.
Suck them properly.
That's right.
That's what you're meant to do.
So as you do as a you know conscientious employee, Roo, I thought I'll read the minutes of the executive meeting to find out about our financial report and our share price.
Dust, surely.
How's the sales team tracking and are we on target? Are we above ahead of budget? And I get to read three pages about Minties and Fantails at the reception area. It's lucky we get to air every day, isn't it? We're being run by clowns.
How about people take more responsibility for their own actions in this bloody joint and everywhere?
That would be a first.
But it doesn't. It's not just here that happens. That happens everywhere, doesn't it?
Mm.
Well,
what do you mean?
Well, I don't know. If you're walking down the street and you happen to trip over a gutter and break your ankle.
Yeah.
People sue the council.
Is it the gutter's fault or is it your fault?
Well, I would have thought the gutter's been there for a while and it didn't move when you were lifting your leg.
Mm. Who put that gutter there?
And it's been built correctly.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Open your eyes.
There's an interesting difference between, for example, New Zealand and Australia with this, isn't there?
Well, in New Zealand, I'm led to believe, don't quote me on this, that if you trip over something that is built to specifications...
Yep.
You can't sue.
So if you trip over that gutter, but it's made properly, then you're the clumsy one for tripping over it.
See, that's right. And in a pub, for instance, and only because I know, that you can injure yourself on someone else's land, but everything's done right. Everything's safe. Everything's built comply with the building
pub's
regulations.
Fault. Pub's fault.
You pay the penalty for it.
For the two precious people here that have chipped their teeth, right, they can now sue... I presume, Southern Cross Austereo, because they chip their tooth at work eating a Minty. And like you've said, well, don't chomp into a hard lolly.
How can we live in a place where you can't take responsibility for your own actions?
Oh, good question. Good question.
That's pathetic.
Yeah.
Let's go to Murray Bridge. G'day, Adai.
Oh, hi, Roo. How are you, Nick?
Very good, thank you. What would you like to say?
I just say I love your show. I giggle every way to work.
Good on you.
And also, I'd just like to say... In my job, we have an occupational health and safety folder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one section I love very much because there's five pages of what injuries you can do to yourself using a microwave oven.
What? You're joking.
No. Who reads through that?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, it's a good read.
Five pages.
Yep.
Oh, what?
Jeez, how big's your folder, by the way?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah.
Pretty big.
All right. Do you want to say where you work or not?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Hey, now, Di, tell us about your name. Where does that come from?
Di.
Oh, is it Di, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's pretty...
Righto. We were told something else. Anyway, Di, thanks for calling in. She sounds like a good scout. Why don't we send her off to the restaurant?
Yeah, go for it, Dits.
104.7 Triple M.
He writes jokes for the front bar, and his mates call him Rosie. Please welcome to Triple M's Ruin Dits for Breakfast, Adam Rosenbach.
Oh, Rosie, good morning. Tell me, are things easing up over there in Melbourne or not? The lockdown situation?
Oh, look, they are. Just quickly, Dits, I just want to check. You weren't in last week when I called in. How are you going with the end zone withdrawals? You're okay, mate?
I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, just right, a little knee op.
Yeah, sweet. You haven't pawned all your DVD players and TVs and stuff
yet? No, not yet.
Not that hooked.
Good to hear, mate. As you said, the lockdown has eased a little bit and it's been stretched out. The radius that we can go to has gone from 5 kilometres to 25 kilometres.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. So now I can swim 17 kilometres into Port Phillip Bay like I've always wanted to do. Although it's a bit cold for that, so I need to grease up and all the hog fat stores are still shut.
Yeah,
so,
shame.
I'm going to have to wait. But Beck Judd has actually got herself into trouble. I don't know whether you saw this.
I did watch it, actually. Yes, I did.
So she posted on her Instagram herself wearing a T-shirt that says Free Melbourne, and she's been complaining about the lockdown and the draconian conditions that we're under. And I think what she's most worried about is that her issue is that 25 kilometres still doesn't get her to her back fence.
Exactly right.
She hasn't seen it for weeks. She doesn't know. She hasn't seen her second pool for months, boys.
She can't put the rubbish bin out properly.
Exactly. The poor little lamb, you know. But how's this, right? So there's a golf course near me called the Northcote Golf Course. Now, it's a public golf course, and we weren't allowed to play golf in this second lockdown. But what they've done is they cut a hole in the fence and everyone's gone out there. The hipsters have taken over the golf course and just used it as parkland. And now that we're allowed to play golf, they've said, well, why don't we share it? And all the golfers are gone, that's not going to happen, champ. Like, you're more than welcome to be out there, but now you and your stupid wax mustache are just going to be a target.
Yeah.
So 10 points if you hit a penny, Father.
Start pinging balls at them.
Hey, what about the drink throw? Did you see that in Adelaide, Rosie? The bloke who threw bourbon and coke over Tommy Lynch?
Yeah, look, you don't want to sum up a crowd, but it's you know what? It's actually not that easy to be that accurate when you're all messed up, right? Mm. That's firstly, credit where it's due. Because Tom Lynch said it was a Bundy and coke, didn't he? And And it was a bit of a coward Bundy and coking as well. Like, you know, it came out of nowhere. And Tom Lynch would know Bundy because he's spent a lot of time in Queensland.
That's right.
And I reckon he would have, that sickly sweet smell, he would have, you know, spotted that straight away. And then when it started burning through the cameraman's clothes and equipment, he would have been like, yeah, that's definitely
that's Bundy. That's Bundy.
How did they bust him? Was it, you know, did they use the behind the goals vision? Is that how they?
Yeah, they had to.
I'd like to see that broken down in the lab room. Yeah. You could do that on Fox Footy.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get Kingy to dissect the Bundy throw.
Mm.
Yeah.
How did Geelong, seriously, be in the running for Jeremy Cameron, arguably the hottest property in football at the moment?
Well, it's kind of amazing that he wants to go to Geelong. I think it'd be good for him to get to play in a grand final. I mean, you know, he was there last year, but come on.
Yeah.
He didn't really play.
No, that's right.
He wasn't there. But it's going to be easy. If he wants to get to Victoria, all Jeremy Cameron has to do is just pretend to be a New Zealand tourist.
Yeah,
because
that's right.
They are everywhere in Victoria at the moment. And he's going to have the pick of the single mums down in Geelong, and it's going to be absolutely great.
He'll be on fire.
You know, he said that he wants to go to Geelong because he doesn't want to be recognised, and it's a quiet country town. It's like, mate, have you been to Geelong in footy season, you know? That's like saying you want to go to Syria for the peace and quiet. Like, you're not going to get it, mate.
No one knows Gary Ablett down there after he come back from Gold Coast.
Exactly. Yeah.
He just snuck in.
There's heaps of people on seven-year deals for $7 million down at Geelong, isn't there?
Like... Yes. No, it's going to work really well. Yeah. If everyone knows what he's earning, his house is going to get done over on a daily basis.
Yeah. That red Ferrari, there's just so many of them down there.
Exactly.
What about the silliest story I've seen in a long, long time, the piece of MCG turf making its way to the Gabba?
I mean, people have made such a big deal of it. The AFL have sent a bunch of things up there as well. They've sent a couple of MCG urinal cakes up to the Gabba toilet. So they've done it really well. But they sent the turf up, so they're sending it up to the Gabba, and it's going to be in a refrigerated truck. Now,
Now, I grow stuff in my roof space, and trust me, that's not refrigerated.
No, you don't want it cold.
So much light.
Humid, maybe. But... Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the grand final on the weekend. You know, I know it's Richmond and Geelong, and it's weird how Richmond in 3 years have just fallen off a cliff in terms of likability, haven't they? Yeah. Like, it's 3 years ago, everyone was wrapped. Now they can't stand, and they're pretty much the AFL's Pete Evans. Like, they've just gone.
They're gone downhill. They're annoying.
Keep Mick Molloy under control on the front bar tomorrow night.
I'll do my best. Thanks, boys.
Good on you. Adam Rosenbach's here on Triple M.
Ebert takes the mark. No one. Brad, I'm Brad. Kicks a goal, Ebert. Brad.
And the whole world has to go for Paul Power just to tell you once again, who's Brad?
Well, I thought we had him on the phone, but he's here in the flesh. He's come in. Ebert, we really appreciate it. How are you?
Mate, I just wanted to get out of the house. I've sort of been cooped up there for the last 4 days. And, it's just good to actually get out of the bubble too. I've sort of been sitting at home and going between the club and home for a long time. So it's good to actually see some other people.
Good on you.
Yeah,
good
so the you. COVID restrictions mean that you haven't been able to come in or go really anywhere, have
nah,
you?
Nah. So it was very much essential services, so shops and cafes for coffee or whatever, but then home and the club. So it was, pretty tight for a while there. But anyway, now unfortunately, we're out of it, to be honest with you. I was quite happy living in the bubble for another week if it was going to be for a grand final. But anyway, not to be.
Brad, quite seriously, it's ironic the way you've bowed out of the game. You were knocked out in your last contest, but I actually thought you'd save the game for Port Adelaide. You ran back with the flight of the ball. You spoilt Revolt, who was about to swallow it and maybe kick a goal. And look, it wasn't to be. Port Adelaide lost by a kick, but, mate, well done to you. You tried absolutely, I mean, from a personal basis, you tried everything you could. You played a great game in your last game of footy, so hopefully you walk away a very, very proud man.
Yeah, I do in that sort of sense. I guess you sort of... at the time you're just thinking, oh, I'm just going to go back to spoil a ball. Yeah, you don't really think that it's going to end up leading into you getting knocked out or whatever. But, I look back on it and I think that it's, I certainly wasn't a form issue in any way in the end, was it? It was, I was feeling okay and playing okay and hoping that we could, keep going on. But, mate, it's one of those ones where I'm quite comfortable with the decision and I'm, as a 30-year-old, very happy going into the next phase of life, mate.
That's good.
I'm excited for what's next. So, loved my time at the club, and I know the club's in a good position, but, I'm happy getting on to the next thing.
I think you've made the right decision, mate. When did you make the decision? How far back did you think, look, this has got to be my last year for all things considered, family, life after footy?
Yeah.
When's enough's enough?
After that last concussion I had a couple months ago, the doctor and I sort of sat down.
Well, you were out for a while.
Yeah. So we had a pretty... some
honest conversations
around what it looks like and what I'm trying to do, and at that point he sort of said that under his advice he'd be considering that the risk is becoming too great.
Can you share the honest thing he said? What did he say if you keep playing or not?
Oh
really?
No, it wasn't anything that you just it was probably more the risk is becoming greater than the reward, and what are you sort of thinking? And at the same time we were winning and we were doing really well, so you're sort of sitting there going, well, hang on a second, I want to see this out.
Yep.
I feel comfortable in myself that I'm okay. So we sort of came to the agreement that, all right, if there's any more knocks, you're done, and see the season out, and then, we'll go from there. So, sort of at that point, I gauged that this is probably going to be it. And then, obviously, on the weekend, it was the sort of icing on the cake, I guess.
Now, it's all elementary now because you're not in the grand final, and we just heard from Ken Hinckley talk about he wouldn't have played you, but you would have missed the grand final. I mean, as I say, we don't have to worry about it now, but, that would have been a tough, tough thing to go through.
It was, I spoke to the doctor afterwards and he was like, I was thinking about it as soon as it happened and I was going to give you till Monday night to pass the concussion test and stuff, but I don't think that even after that, like even the way I'm feeling now and stuff, I don't think that I would have been okay, which means that...
Mad Monday.
No, it hasn't been a mad Monday. That's why I'm in here at 8:30 in the morning, fresh as a daisy. Look at me. I sadly haven't had any beers or done anything at the moment. I'm hoping that time will come when I'm feeling a bit better and I can actually, have a few beers and reflect on things. But at the moment, mate, I've sort of been cooped up at home again, back in the bubble, back in the COVID bubble.
How do you reflect on a 6-point loss in a prelim final? Is it... Obviously, it's shattering right now, but I know you were at a barbecue, the other day at the club, the day after. Is everyone standing around saying, this is our moment, here we go, like we've got this great young squad, or is it too early to be thinking about what's going to happen?
Oh, mate, there's definitely those sort of conversations, and it's one of those ones where you're licking your wounds a bit, but at the same time, you're looking at... you know, the positive side of things as well. And yet, I see Mitchie Georgiadis sitting on the back page of the paper here, and you look at the youth coming through, what they've been able to achieve in their first couple of years. You look at the boys that are still there, like Boakye and Robbie, and Boakye's 32 going on 22, getting better and better. And you just keep saying that, all right, there's a good nucleus there, there's a good mix. And I think we've learnt from those errors of the past in terms of, you know, 2014 when we got there and just missed out. I think that we're in a lot better space as a coaching group, as a playing group, to learn from those sort of things to propel us. So I think we've got the mix there. At the same time, it was heartbreaking. So Saturday, we're all sitting around thinking, Jesus, what just happened? And how did that happen? But for me now, I'm sort of looking at it disappointed that I never got that chance, but confident that the boys will be fine.
What's life after footy going to be for Brad Ebert? Have you thought far enough out yet?
Yeah, it's one of those ones where I'm thinking I still enjoy sport. I still enjoy footy. I've got that business side of things, so I might sort of get involved there in that sort of commercial space or high-performance space. I'm sort of just weighing up a few things at the moment. And in the meantime, selling a bit more wine.
He's got the shirt on. Oh, he's
straight into it, isn't he?
Got a few new varieties coming. Got to push them for Christmas. Doing a little sneaky port. So
port.
I've had a few messages from Mark Rusciutto and a few boys down the Crows there. So you never know, mate.
My wife's a port drinker, so I'll buy some port.
No, I'm talking more just Crows in general, mate. I'm only joking. I just thought I'd throw it out.
Sending you a message. Congratulations for
Sure you were.
Will you be a coach one day?
Probably not a coach. No. I don't mind coaches and stuff, but I don't think that...
Not your thing?
Nah, probably not. What about Roo, Ditz and Ebo?
That
sounds all right to me.
That's a crowd, mate.
I feel like...
I've already got one feral port like supporter.
I actually need a port supporter, one that'll stand up for the club.
There's a whack.
I'm only joking. Don't do that, you might have concussion again.
Yeah, I know, here we go. I'm going again.
Did you bring him out?
Ebo's really finished up. Ditz, I really respect what you boys have been doing, and I appreciate everything you guys have done. So seriously, it's been great.
Good comeback.
Without being too soppy and stuff. I've tried to take the mickey, but you've been brilliant. So
I want to say to you as well that I'm lucky enough to know your family, and I know your mum and dad. Mm-hmm. And mate, you are one of the great fellas I've ever met, and I mean that. Again, I'm not being soppy either, but...
Even after that last comment?
No, that's all good, mate. You've got to be honest. The way you conduct yourself and the way you are with people, you're a ripper, mate. And I know you get it from your parents. Your dad's one of the nicest blokes I've ever met. Well done. Well done on everything you've done and achieved, and good luck in retirement, mate.
No, I appreciate it, guys. And that's, like I said, I really do appreciate what you guys are doing, and I've appreciated coming in here week in, week out.
Well, we've loved it.
Stay in touch, Ebo.
Yeah. I will for sure.
Good on you, mate. Well done. Brad Ebert.
Roo and Ditz are done and dusted for the day. Now it's time to win big. Become an instant millionaire with the Hospital Research Foundation Home Lottery. Visit homelottery.com.au.